Lots of things go better together. Hockey, food, golf, peanut butter and jelly, Gojo and Golic, Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce. What? But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Draft week keeps rolling along, and we get to talk to one of the big quarterback names that expects to be called early on in this one. Former Oregon quarterback Bo Nix, kind enough to join us now here on behalf of Old Spice. Certainly want to hear all about what you got going on there. But Bo, for you, man, 61 starts during your time in college, finally getting ready to turn the page to the NFL. What's this process been like for you after all this time?
It's been great. You know, it's what I've looked forward to for so long. You know, it was, I think, you know, a great thing that I was able to, you know, experience so much in college to where it's going to make, you know, the transition hopefully better than if I didn't do all the experience. So, I'm excited for that, excited for the transition, excited to be on a new team, and, you know, ready for this process to be complete.
Yeah, I tell you, you did what we tell college kids to do all the time, stay in college as long as you can. It's a beautiful thing. And you did, and you were successful. So, as you now get ready to turn what you did and love to do into your profession, what in your mind are the things that you had to work on the most as you get ready for this next level?
I think just obviously control the things that you can, control the things that are in your control. And when you go out there, just put a product on the field that, you know, is going to win games. Because at the end of the day, it's all about being efficient, winning games. And there's many different ways of doing that, but you know, I felt like this year we were able to put a complete year together. We were very multiple offensively. We threw the ball around, you know, a lot. We ran the ball efficiently. We used explosive plays. We used creative plays. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, keeping the ball off the ground, getting the ball in the hands of your playmakers. And that's what I did. And we prepared really hard going into the weeks. We studied the game and we had great game plans. And, you know, each week I felt great and comfortable and went out there and played really good. So that's what I'm excited about, you know, the product that I put on tape and continue to, you know, be complete each and every year and always learn different things, always get better, always be in a, you know, stage of growing and not trying to be anything other than the best version of yourself.
Well, you mentioned keeping the ball off the ground, set the NCAA's new single season completion percentage record. So certainly a clean sheet there. I'm curious though, you mentioned kind of learning, growing the whole way. 61 starts, that's a ton of football. Are you a guy with that kind of photographic memory? Do you remember a lot from each of those stops along the way, or is they all kind of blur together after a while?
No, I can remember pretty much each and every game, you know, specifically, and some of the plays could get, you know, fuzzy. I've been in so many systems, the plays can start to run together, but, you know, pretty much every moment and everything I can remember. That's what I think is the fun part. You know, I didn't, I made the most out of my college career. I took everything I could out of it. I exhausted my eligibility. I don't have any regrets and, excited for the future because I know I put myself in a situation that, I can, you know, go from what I learned and use what I learned to, you know, better myself in the future.
From a quarterback standpoint, there's so much that goes into the position, and everyone got to know your name early. You burst onto the scene really early on in your career at Auburn, ironically enough, against the team you would wind up playing for in Oregon one day. When you made that jump from Auburn to Oregon, from the SEC to the Pac-12, what was the biggest thing you knew then, hey, I wanted to get better at, I wanted to improve on, based off what I already knew about myself after all these starts at Auburn?
Well, I just wanted a little bit more opportunity, I guess, you know, to be myself and to go out there and, you know, put everything I had on film and throw and run and make checks and do everything that a quarterback does. And, you know, that's what Coach Dillingham gave me a chance to do. And then Coach Stein picked up where he left off, and we had an awesome year this past year. So, you know, it worked out how it was supposed to go. And I was able to, you know, graduate from Auburn, but then I was able to go and really follow my dreams and you know, go after everything and compete, you know, for everything that I wanted at Oregon.
You know, Bo, fans can watch pro days, they can watch combines, obviously watch you play. But I like when you're able to take fans inside to where they can't be. And for the 99% of people who will never be in your position, take us inside a classroom when you're talking to a team, an NFL team, of what they're asking you and putting you through to try and prepare you or see if they want to draft you.
Yeah, so they'll put you in, you know, a meeting room. You'll have about, you know, 10 to 15 other, you know, guys a part of their organization, whether it's an analyst, a coach, a GM, you know, somebody, you know, high up, whoever it is, they're all in there listening and evaluating, and they'll ask you, you know, different questions. They could go through a presentation with you and, you know, get you going, then ask you to get up on the board and go over everything you learn, and they'll give you, you know, a time crunch, and they'll, you know, pepper you with questions, and they just try to make this environment you know, pressure packed and just a lot going on, see how you react. And that's the main thing. I mean, you're not going to have all the answers. You're going to have to figure a few of them out. You're going to have to just do the best you can. But as long as you don't get flustered and you just keep the main thing, like they do a lot of this knowing you're not going to be able to keep up and want to see how you react, want to see how you respond. So they, at the end of the day, they are coaches. So they want to teach you, they want to correct you, they want to be able to, you know, coach you. So they don't want you to necessarily have all the answers. They just want to see how you respond. So it's a few minutes of just, you know, a lot going on, and you just got to kind of weather the storm and do the best you can.
With that in mind, what is the biggest strength you think you bring to the next level as a quarterback that helped you navigate those situations?
Just mental capacity, mental space. I feel like I have a great grasp and understanding for the game of football. I can pick up on, you know, any offense. I've counting high school, I've played in six different offenses in 6 years. This will be my seventh, whoever it is in the league. So I'm a man that learns a lot of different offense, learns a lot of different football. So I've been able to piece those together and just, you know, keep a mental bank of all the things that I've learned. And you could run the same concept, call it six different things, and be able to, you know, run it the same way over and over. So that's what I've learned. I've been in so many systems and we've run so many plays. You know, I've gotten under center, shotgun, you know, all kinds of run plays, all kinds of pass plays, you know, all kinds of shifts and motions and cadences. And I've been able to do it, you know, honestly, I've been able to do it at the highest level. So I'm excited to move to the next level in the NFL and be a part of it. And there's so much that I'm eager to learn and eager to get used to. And there's so many experiences that I have not gone through yet that I'm going to be able to go through for the first time and learn and, you know, learn from coaches who have been doing it for years and years and other players who have been in the league for years, a lot longer than me. So I'm excited for that. And I'm excited to, again, go back to being a sponge and, you know, learning everything I can again. In college, it got to where I was very comfortable on this thing. There's no eligibility that has to run out. So I'm excited about that. I get to throw the same football for the rest of my time. And once I'm done throwing the Duke, I might be throwing stop. You know, I might be done throwing the ball in general. So this will be my last football, and I'm excited about that. It's just those little things that, you know, when everything's going on crazy, you finally get to settle in, and you know this is it.
Yeah, I don't imagine grasping a new playbook is going to be too difficult for you. Before we get to Old Spice, who's going to be around for who you're sharing the draft with?
My family. You know, I'm married, so my wife and I, we're going to have our immediate families there, and then we're going to have a close circle of people who have helped me get to where I am today. So many people, you know, behind the scenes, I've done so much from prayers to insight to knowledge to whatever they could share with us and to get us to where we are. It's kind of a celebration. And so whatever happens, we're really looking forward to it, eager for wherever that may be. And I just know my wife and I are really excited to get to a new city and start competing to win Super Bowls.
Well, Bo, one of the things I know during your college career that you got used to was the change to the NIL era. You guys have become business people, entrepreneurs, way earlier in your careers. It's become more professional than ever. You are here on behalf of Old Spice. So how has that benefited the way that you already approach this? And what do you got going on with Old Spice?
Yeah, it's been huge. And it's a great opportunity for the younger generation, the younger guys in college. But Old Spice has given me an awesome opportunity, to represent their new total body deodorant. It's long lasting. It goes 24/7, keeps you fresh, all over your body, from your pit to your toes. And, there's nothing that it can't do. So excited to represent this product. It's a unique product because it helps so many people in different ways. And especially for a guy like me who's in a locker room with football players, we're always outside and sweating and getting nasty. So this is going to help us a lot.
Well, which of your former offensive linemen, either, and we'll go this last season at Oregon, would have most needed the full body deodorant?
Well, that's tough because some guys sweat a lot. Other guys, don't sweat. Some guys, smell. But fortunately for me, you can kind of stay away from them unless it's your center. Your center, you get up close and personal. The other guys, you can keep your distance, speak to them, but not necessarily get up there to smell them. But thank goodness for me, we had it taken care of. We had a lot of sweaters, a lot of guys that would just sweat a lot, but thank goodness they didn't just stink. So it made it a lot better.
Give them all a can of Old Spice.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. You know what? And it's good to know.
Yeah. Now, if I knew what I know now, I'd supply them with a year's long worth of Old Spice that they can use and stay fresh. But that's what I get to do now moving forward.
There we go. You know what? Good for scouts to know. It sounds like Jackson Powers Johnson, not stinky. So
yeah,
we'll
good.
Take that. Maybe a little sweaty,
right.
Not stinky.
Yep.
All right, there, perfect. Bo, we appreciate your time, brother. Thank you so much. Best of luck. We're excited to see what team you get to call home next up here.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I can't wait.
Thanks, Bo.
We are excited to see where he ends up. And if we're taking a look at the DraftKings sports odds, Broncos pick at 12 overall. They are the favorite to land him at -130. Raiders next at pick 13. Decent jump, though, +475. So it looks like he will end up in Denver, Senior. How do you feel about this next step for him?
The one, obviously at this level, you hear the pros and the cons. And one of the criticisms of Bo is arm strength, especially whenever you see that quarterback on the opposite hash, because hashes are further out in college, make that opposite hash throw all the way to the other sideline. Well, that's a pro throw, right? When they can get it there with some velocity. Don't get too hung up on that. That would be my word of advice is you can make up. Now you have to make up for lack of velocity by timing. If you time that throw well, because you talk about lack of velocity, you're talking about a DB jumping a route, but if you time it well, you can beat that. We've had guys come into this league, like go way back to Jeff George, had that strong arm, but if you can't do a lot with it and can't last, so be it. We see guys throw the ball long or on their pro day, make this unbelievable long throw, and we get hung up on that. Don't get hung up on that. Let's see where the throws go. Let's see. He's seen a lot of offenses. He should be able to pick up offenses pretty quick. If he's got that timing down, then velocity matters less.
Yeah, I just think with Bo Moore, the concern is like, hey, the offense was really RPO heavy. A lot of it's stuff that you just don't see as much in the NFL. And so much of his best stuff, like I called the first Washington-Oregon game during the regular season with the two of them. And I said, if you want a quarterback that's great when the script is all in place, Michael Penix Jr. is your guy. If you want a guy that's great when everything goes to hell, Bo Nix is your guy. So much of his best production, I thought, was when he had to ad-lib on the fly when things broke down. That doesn't win you as much in the NFL, especially when you're not the guy with the massive arm. When you got these guys with a big arm and all of a sudden it breaks down, Josh Allen, Mahomes, you can hum it into windows that most other people can't dream of. Bo, not as much. So it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up in the kind of system. I still don't know if I see him becoming a first-round quarterback.
I agree with
Denver's the one outlier because we've talked about the way that their picks are organized this draft. desperation might take hold just because they don't have a successor at quarterback right now after the failed Russell Wilson experiment. So we'll wait and see the future there. But
oh boy,
if you're
ahead.
Sitting around here in America right now, the sound you just heard was elder millennials all crying out at the same time for the same reason, because we got breaking news from ESPN's Pete Thamel. Reggie Bush is getting his damn Heisman back. The 05 Heisman Trophy winner will have his trophy reinstated after, and the NCAA and the Heisman Trust, I should say, citing enormous changes in the college football landscape. The Heisman Trust decision comes after Bush forfeited his Heisman back in 2010 in the wake of NCAA sanctions. Yada, yada, yada. Dad, the Heisman Trust returning this is what we talked about the last time we said this, which is, why does the Heisman Trust need to listen to the NCAA? They had last time this conversation come up said, hey, when the NCAA decides to reinstate his record, then we'll reinstate his Heisman. And we pointed out there is no part of the Heisman Trust that is governed by the NCAA.
Exactly.
And I think they finally looked around and said, hey, the world's a different place now than the one that originally took Reggie's Heisman back. And common sense prevailed for the first time in a long time, because you know why? Johnny Manziel, you did it, you crazy SOB.
So again, to Mike's point, and those that don't know, the Heisman Trust has nothing to do with the NCAA. They do not have to follow NCAA rules. And for those that don't know, we'll go all the way back when Reggie Bush got in trouble, when the school and that whole situation of getting his parents a place to live, the rules that they broke then that were rules that were broken.
Yeah, Reggie had a house and a car.
Yeah, exactly.
And it wasn't cool back then,
so,
and it's cool now.
They were going to get into a bunch of trouble. Pete Carroll took off to Seattle.
Mm-hmm. Tails all this time,
the
baby.
Heisman got taken away. All kind of sanctions came down on USC. But again, the Heisman Trust did not have to. They could have said, listen, we get all that. He was still the best player on the field. He can keep his Heisman. But they didn't. They crumbled to the NCAA, and they took his Heisman away, which was ridiculous. And now Johnny Manziel, for those that don't remember, said he is boycotting. You know how in the Heisman Award you see all the former Heisman winners behind the podium? Johnny Manziel said he was boycotting the Heisman Trophy ceremony until Reggie gets his trophy back. And a lot of us thought, okay, if one guy's missing back there, is that really going to make a big difference? And in all honesty, was it Johnny Manziel who made this difference? But at least he started voicing it and sounding it. And if others would have also not shown, that would have been...
How do you say? And there were others that were vocally supporting.
It would have been
Brown
interesting.
Tim Brown from our school, Matt
exactly.
Leinart from USC.
But imagine that ring of players behind the podium, if that was down to a few players, if there were those that were going to do it. And maybe the Heisman Trust didn't want to take that chance at all.
Sure.
That other players would have jumped into it. But they did the right thing. They're giving him his trophy back. He deserves his trophy. I know what he did broke the rules at the time. But it's like vacated wins. It doesn't change the fact of what happened on the field. And Reggie Bush not only won the Heisman that year, Reggie Bush is one of the greatest college players of all time. So for him to get that trophy back, well, it's a symbolic thing, obviously, and literally you get a trophy, I get it. But it's about time, I guess I would say. This was the right move, and it never should have been taken away in the first place.
With him being recognized now, too, I think USC now owns, on its own, the record for most Heisman Trophy winners with 8.
They go ahead Notre Dame.
They go ahead Notre Dame. Notre Dame, and there were one other school they were tied with here that I can't find right. It was 7 each. Notre Dame, Ohio State, and Oklahoma all had 7 winners each. USC now has 8 and stands alone up top there. But, yeah, I mean, this is, you know, first off, as a Heisman voter, very proud to see that the Heisman Trust made a great decision here. I
commend
them on that one now. It comes in the wake of maybe an ill-advised graphic, rest in peace graphic for O.J. Simpson,
right,
who still had his Heisman.
Yes, he did.
By the way, which sort of made this look even more ridiculous. Because, Dad, you mentioned it there. For me, Reggie Bush is the best football player in college I have watched with my own two eyes in my lifetime. Like, when I fell in love with college football, even as a Notre Dame fan, it was early 2000s. USC was a big part of that. And Reggie Bush, that thunder and lightning backfield that he was a part of, some of the things he did that captivated in a way that very few players did then and have since, is to me that guy that's on top of the mountain in terms of guys I've watched personally in my lifetime. I understand plenty of great running backs, plenty of great players that have come before that. And so to see that, it's almost like the conversation we have, Dad, about the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame with Barry Bonds.
Right. Like, Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds.
We all know what we saw with the steroid era guys that are now not being acknowledged. That was a big part of my childhood that was left off to the side. It felt the same way with this lack of acknowledgement for Reggie Bush and the Heisman that now gets rectified.
People will push back and say, well, the steroids actually help you on the field to get better stats. And we all know Barry Bonds had a Hall of Fame career before that even happened.
And but everyone was doing it. We all made the money
everybody
off
Everybody was
of
doing
it.
It's exactly
Grow
right.
Up, Peter
I
Pan.
Still, when McGuire and Sosa had the Del home run Chocula. Race, and people today say, if I knew they were on roids, I never would have watched. You're full of it, and you're lying to yourself.
Full of it.
You would have. But this is also a thing now. We'll never see another illegal gains money-wise or something else-wise suspension again in college football. Because I remember when you guys went to Notre Dame, one of the things I got there was a golf cart, right?
Yeah.
And literally, there was a player one time at USC who got driven in a golf cart somewhere and had to pay a $20 penalty to the NCAA or would have got suspended. If you guys as scholarship athletes would have driven that golf cart on your own, you would have gotten in trouble. Think of how dumb that is to where we are now, where nothing like that will ever happen.
My
again.
Buddy Gabe Eichert and those dudes
the
went
pasta.
For seconds
at
a potluck dinner
yes.
or at like a buffet-style
yes.
dinner and had to pay back money for all that. You, how far we've come.
You couldn't put cream cheese. You could get a bagel, but you couldn't have cream cheese on a bagel. These are all true things. This isn't made-up stuff.
Hey.
And look where we are finally.
Johnny Manziel, a tip of the cap to you, and Reggie Bush. Welcome back to the Heisman Trophy winner's circle. Richly deserved and about damn time.
Hey, Dad, what do you do when you're out with friends, the waiter comes up and tries to take everybody's order, but the whole table freezes up and everyone's looking at each other trying to find some help?
That's a great question. So what should I do?
You should have some confidence, Dad, or as our friends at Jägermeister call it, shotfidence. If everyone's having trouble ordering, here's what you do. You take charge, you grab the bull by the horns, you find that dog in you, and you make an executive decision. And just order for the table, a round of ice-cold Jägermeister shots. Damn, that's cold. Because apparently, we've all been drinking Jägermeister wrong.
Did not know that. How should we be drinking it?
Glad you asked, Dad. We should be drinking it ice-cold at 0 degrees Fahrenheit.
Well, that brings up other things that I love ice cold as well. And I'll tell you right out of the gate, that's going to be a candy bar pulled out of the freezer. That's my way of eating candy.
Oh, I love it. On the golf course out there, you get to the turn in the middle of the round there, and you get to that little clubhouse there, and they've always got the candy bar options, and I always see they've usually got a little box of them in the freezer, and it always makes it better on a hot day out on the golf course, taking a bite of that cold, cold chocolate and getting ready to go for the rest of my round. It's the same way with Jägermeister. So wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice-cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold.
And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjägermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York.
Tackle Joe Alt destined for the Titans. It seems like with these thousands of mock drafts that we've had, two names and two teams have been tied together the most. Caleb Williams, number one overall to the Bears, of course, but also Joe Alt and the Titans. We've seen it a lot at pick seven and taking a look at the odds at the DraftKings Sportsbook to go pick seven is -155. Titans to draft an lineman, -330. Him to go in the top 10 is crazy juiced odds, which I don't suggest playing because it probably will happen, but not a great payout. Joe Alt will join us on the show tomorrow to tell us about what he anticipates. But taking a look at him in particular, the rest of the AFC South, and just what the Titans will do in this draft in particular, how do you like their chances for improving this season?
It is interesting, Dad. For a while, I felt like this was a little less certain because so many of us looked at the Chargers at five and wondered, and I get it. Wide receiver, the cupboard is barren there. They've got Quentin Johnston, their former number one wide receiver pick from the other year, but doesn't seem like that took hold the way they wanted. New regime out there. I still do wonder, given Jim Harbaugh's background, if that's more in play there than we're giving it credit for. But if not, you've got Joe Alt, who can come in here and pretty seamlessly slot in to be the left tackle of the future for the Titans.
Plus, everybody has a Chargers trading out of five, too. Just about every mock draft has them dumping out of there. If they stay at five, Alt could go there. I because of Jim Harbaugh, I could see them wanting to take one of the wide receivers, though, because, I mean, we're talking those top three, wherever you rank them. I think all three are going to have a great impact in the NFL, and they need receivers. So to me, if the Chargers stayed at five, I would have thought they would lean toward receiver. If not, I think it's going to be Alt, but everybody in the world has them trading out of there.
Joe has been the consensus number one tackle for a while now in a tackle class that is rich and decadent. What I will say is it's the perfect marriage in Tennessee, where you've got Bill Callahan there as the offensive line coach who comes over with his son Brian, who takes the head coaching job there. One of the kingmakers around the NFL. I think he was Zach Martin's first offensive line coach when he got to Dallas. I need to double check this quickly. He was the Dallas, 2012 to 2014. So helped launch that career. And for Joe, already been the beneficiary of great coaching. We mentioned Harry Hiestand was his first offensive line coach at Notre Dame, my former coach, for my money, the best offensive line coach in college football in the last two decades.
Yep.
Joe Rudolph coming over from Wisconsin, helping this last year. And now if you get him here, Joe, we talked to Duke Manyweather about this, the perfect blend of ready to come in play now, but still so much ability that you can continue to tap into and hone, and the perfect offensive line coach to help do it at a place that's trying to turn the page after Taylor Lewan and that offensive line that for so long had been the face there under Mike Vrabel now goes by the wayside.
Yeah, and obviously with Spears and Pollard, you're going to have a kind of that two-back system. You started getting that a little bit some last year.
Will Levis, your quarterback,
with this? Young quarterback, so you'd like to get a running game going. You pick up a center in free agency, so you stack that offensive
Skoronski,
line.
Your offensive line pick from last year, who's one of the bright spots in that group.
Cushion Berry is a guy you picked up in the offseason. So, yeah, I think this is the move to go solidify that line in front of your young quarterback, help your running game out as well. So, if five is going to be the key spot to see if Alt goes to Tennessee, do the Chargers actually make a pick there? And if they do, would it be Alt or would it be a wide receiver?
Yeah, no. So I think we're all pretty secure. This one in a draft that's starting to feel like it's got some certainties up top, certainly Caleb Williams at number one. We'll see Jaden Daniels, the betting markets reflect, a quarterback who seems pretty locked into that two spot with Washington, even if he's maybe not super high on that from what we're hearing. But the Tennessee Titans and Joe Alt seems like a real happy marriage getting ready. The Colts at 15. It seems obvious, like corner overwhelming need for this team, that defensively up front, the front seven the last couple of years has been pretty stout. Offensively, though, Dad, you still wonder, hey, they've drafted some of the wide receiver room there. They kept Michael Pittman around there as well at wide receiver. But you got a young quarterback in Anthony Richardson who's coming off an injury in Shane Steichen's system. I do wonder, hey, while that's built off the quarterback run, we saw it with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia the year they went to the Super Bowl, if maybe trying to add another weapon around him to make sure we don't have to use that element of him as much in this offense coming off injury as a premium.
We'll see if the top two cornerbacks, Mitchell or Arnold, are around at that point. If they are, I could see that route. But if not, Mike, you know, we talked about the Jets and possibly Brock Bowers at tight end.
Sure.
If he doesn't go there and Brock drops, I almost wouldn't see him going by the Colts at 15. Last year, the Colts had four tight ends combined for 70 receptions and six touchdowns. The top tight end had just 30 receptions. So I could see them going for Bowers, going for that great weapon for Anthony Richardson. You want to take care of that quarterback. So that, to me, is going to be, if you're a Colt fan, do the Jets go Brock Bowers at 10? If not, it's possible he could fall to 15. And I don't know if I see him getting by the Colts if he does.
No, certainly. And you look at, so Michael Pittman Jr., we mentioned, re-signed there. Alec Pierce, the draft pick out of Cincinnati, who still waiting to kind of see the best of there. Josh Downs, their pick in the third round last year out of North Carolina. And so I think, again, if corner's there, I think you're going corner because that's a pretty overwhelming need for that team. But Bowers is going to be interesting for a lot of teams that are looking for that added element that he can bring to an offense here. Jacksonville, not far behind them at 17, Dad, for a team that acquired a fair amount this offseason.
They did.
Defensively, offensively as well. You lose a bit at receiver, but you also bring Gabe Davis down there, Mac Jones down there to back up a guy that he was in the same draft class with in Trevor Lawrence. What do you like for Jaguars, Dad?
So you see they're just two picks past the Colts. So, and that will be interesting, as we mentioned. What if there's a cornerback available, which one? And do the Colts take that cornerback? Or if Bowers is there, do they take Brock Bowers? And will a cornerback, one of the top corner? I can't see one of those two cornerbacks still being there at 17. if they are. I mean, this is the team that had, what, just 16 interceptions. They're a lower part of the league as far as pass defense was concerned. So I think they would hope that maybe one of those cornerbacks is there, but I don't know if one of them is going to be there. So it'll be interesting if one is available and Brock is available at 15. Where do the Colts do? Obviously, Jacksonville, keep an eye on that and see if one could fall to them.
So Jacksonville's defense is interesting. You re-signed Josh Allen, the other defensive Josh Allen. Trevon Walker started to look more the part towards the back half of last season, some of that pass rushing ability coming online there. And so pairing that defensive backfield with a little more and solidifying that works. But, man, on offense, like, Christian Kirk, some of that wide receiver room going to get healthy. You lost Calvin Ridley. Gabe Davis is not a direct replacement of that. He's a guy that struggled to be the number two in Buffalo. And I still think, hey, man, we're trying to make sure Trevor Lawrence doesn't add his name to the laundry list of guys from that 2021 class who are all of a sudden on the outs wherever they're at. This feels like a make-or-break season there. And so some mock drafts, like, I don't know, Brian Thomas is going to be really interesting, the other wide receiver out of LSU in this draft class. Yeah. Big guy that can fly. If a guy like him leaks down here, could absolutely see them going wide receiver to try and say, hey, let's continue to make this offense a strength and give our quarterback more steady options for the Jacksonville Jags at 17. America's team for our buddy Emerson Latzia. The Houston Texans had no first-round pick. They mortgaged so much of their future to go get franchise cornerstones last year, and it worked out.
Yeah.
And C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr., both respective award winners on their sides of the ball for various things. They pick 42nd overall in the second round here, Dad. Now, what do you see as the biggest need for this team coming off last
year? I mean, they lost Grenard, their edge rusher, but they got Danielle Hunter.
Sure.
Right? Their running game wasn't great last year. They pick up Joe Mixon, so they've taken care of a couple of areas there. So do you concentrate on the defensive side? Still, that's going to be an issue. You like the receivers that they have. In Collins and Tank Dell. Obviously, the quarterback, you've helped the running game go along there. So I think they're going to lean to the defensive side of the ball in the 42nd pick. So nowhere near the first round here.
Sure.
So I think that's the side they go. And cornerback is a very, very deep position, so you can get a quality one there.
Some of the mocks we've seen here, Mike Samer still, real versatile defensive back out of Michigan. And then D lineman Chris Jenkins out of Michigan, too, who
this
could be more of the range where we start to see some of these D linemen come off the board. And while they brought DeNico Autry older, I thought Sheldon Rankins, who they lost this offseason, one of the more impactful players on that defense last year.
Yeah.
We focused so much on the edge guys. There were games where Sheldon Rankins was unblockable on the inside, and his presence made those guys so much better. And so maybe adding something a little bit more stout up there, especially from the run defense portion of things, where Houston at times struggled last year, I think that could be a really interesting fit for a Texans team where the arrow has only been pointing up for the majority of this offseason, a team that looks to take the leap from winning a playoff game to all of a sudden being true contenders in the AFC. It's Kentucky Derby time. Are you ready for the greatest 2 minutes in sports? Saddle up with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Download DK Horse now to join the Run for the Roses action. New customers can get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with code GOLIC, only on the DK Horse app. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states, to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at dkhorse.com. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
The clock is ticking down. The NFL draft just so close we can taste it. The Raiders trying to make some moves before that, though, according to NFL Network's Mike Garafolo. The Raiders reached out to the Commanders, trying to move out of pick 13 up to pick 2, despite Washington's GM Adam Peters saying, we're not doing that. They still went for it anyways. Ian Rappaport also confirming that the Commanders have shown no signs of budging. The Patriots, on the other hand, sounded a lot more likely that they may move away from that number three pick.
Signs of budging.
signs of budging. They're showing the signs of budging, unfortunately.
And now, they're putting you through it right now. I can see you wearing the stress of that. Are you gonna be okay, Claudia?
I'm saying that, but at the same time, it's such a good problem to have because it's like, okay, hey, if we don't get our quarterback, at least we are rebuilding. We're doing the thing that
Boy,
we said
we would. What an optimistic last half full look at that.
Yeah, well, the other issue, too, is, I mean, we talk about bust. Not just quarterback bust. There's bust for other positions, too. So, yeah, maybe we're getting more options than just one, but it still works.
Here's what I don't understand. First, I don't see Washington trading out of that second spot at all.
Sure. I mean, Jaden Daniels, it sounds like a Dino Rossini, our good friend this morning, doing a great job over at The Athletic, put out some buzz that she's hearing around the league right now. It said Jaden Daniels was given a high grade by many teams. While the quarterback is cool, in quotes, with Washington, I'm told his, quote, dream world, he would reunite with Raiders head coach Antonio Pierce, who was an assistant at ASU when he was there as a Sun Devil, or play under Kevin O'Connell in Minnesota.
Listen, that would mean a quarterback would try and manipulate a la John Elway, a la Eli Manning. I don't see that at all. You could sit there and say you want to play for whoever you want. And at the end of the day, 99.9% of the players go where they're drafted and they're going to play. I don't see that happening at all. Here's a question I have for you New England fans and Mike as well. We keep talking about
and Mike
the third pick and, you know, it won't be good for a new quarterback or Frank to go to New England. They're not ready for it. The whole idea in the NFL is to find a quarterback.
Yes.
If you're New England at the third slot and you have – it's a new regime, and you have a grade on a quarterback there that would be the third quarterback that's a franchise quarterback, you take him.
Well, yeah, but
you take him.
The whole conversation we've had this offseason is about how, hey, the landing spot matters a lot more in quarterback development and success than we've ever had before. There just aren't a lot of quarterbacks that are able to bootstrap franchises into relevancy on their own without the surrounding infrastructure.
But you have to – did Houston have the infrastructure
yes,
last
better
year?
Than
they had much better than Patriots.
Yes.
My thing, though,
they
is –
They were a
franchise with much more to offer.
So
than
at
we
what
found
point do you
Patriots.
Say we have a grade on a franchise quarterback, we pick number three, but you know what? We don't have the infrastructure, so we're not taking them. We're going to wait. That's ridiculous.
No, I agree. That's why I think
it's
they should –
It's ridiculous.
That's
if
why
you
I
have a franchise
fail.
Grade on a guy, you take him.
Dad, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying you're ignoring a lot of recent history and saying that'll work out well. I get it. We've got all the numbers to back up that between the savings you get, the hit rate on quarterbacks,
right.
The savings that you get at that position, it is worthwhile to take that swing. I'm just saying, if you were asking me right now, the way that we're looking at that 2021 draft class we keep talking about,
right.
Where all these quarterbacks flamed out.
Including Mac Jones.
Yeah, including Mac Jones. If you're asking me to, hey, go through this draft class, and after this one, if the Patriots pick a quarterback, say, Mike, pick the team that you think most likely is going to be without that quarterback in 3 years, I would immediately point to the New England
but
Patriots.
But that doesn't mean they shouldn't take one.
There's also a world.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying it's a high likelihood of failure given the surrounding environment.
I get it because it's a 50% hit rate, but in the fact that you don't take as much of a money hit now that you have a rookie wage scale, it's not as bad as it was. I get everybody saying, well, he's going to fail there. They have to take one. If
they don't have to.
A franchise grade for one of the third quarterback, because two are going to
obviously, if they love the guy, but in a world where we've talked about these prospects outside of Caleb Williams as maybe a little bit closer together or maybe less of a sure thing, we found warts on all these guys. If it's outside of we're not talking about a bunch of Andrew Luck prospects here, Dad.
I'm getting the vibe that even if it's a franchise quarterback, they have such a horrible infrastructure, they need to trade down and move on. That's garbage. That's ridiculous.
I think the issue, too, with a lot of people is they keep comparing it to Mac Jones. Like, Mac Jones fell to us, and we brought him in, and we didn't have the right pieces around him. But I also don't think he's as good as Drake May is. So the ceiling's higher with Drake May. Also, they brought in Brissett to be that veteran presence. If you don't want to throw him out there and destroy him, which happened to Mac Jones, then that's fine. Let him sit. But I agree with you. I don't think waiting to find somebody next year or in free agency is going to work out for this team. And that comes from a fan who, you know, I understand both sides, but I think the quarterback makes the most.
I just think this is one of those cases, and I'd be curious for Patriots fans, where for so much of this offseason, you have been sold, hey, new regime.
Yes.
We're not going to do things the way Correct. That we used to. I think it was Mike Silver yesterday that said, like, good for the Crafts for taking back their franchise. From what? The winningest two decades in the history of modern pro sports?
Bad couple of years.
Yeah, right. Maybe we need to simmer down a little bit on that, but I think – Patriots fans have now had this expectation. Oh, we're going to take a quarterback. Our franchise isn't just going to be trading back anymore. Where if we had been sold that earlier in the offseason, I think a lot of us would be sitting here fine saying, hey, the Patriots have a lot of needs. If they want to trade back a little bit, maybe they take one of these other quarterbacks that we're talking about, Penix or Bo Nix, later in the first round or early in the second round with the picks that they amass in that. You could sell that under the guise of also, hey, we'll get some studs at other positions and we'll start to rebuild the foundation of this roster. I just think it's an expectation, Claudia. Like the reaction I saw from you was, a fan base that has been told, hey, we're different now. And quarterback's fun to sell to fans. We can all get excited about quarterbacks because we think all of them are going to be Joe Burrow and CJ Stroud. That's not how it works.
They want to quench that thirst for good quarterback play, which we have not had since Tom Brady. But I agree, it's a deep quarterback class, so I wouldn't be mad as long as we
think we're on the same page, Mike. If when the third pick comes up, if their grade for, let's say, Drake May, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, for Drake May, or if they think it's J.J. McCarthy. I have no idea. It's all what they think, not what we think. If they think that grade of that pick is a franchise quarterback and they don't have Bo Nix in that category and they don't have Michael Penix Jr. in that category or J.J. McCarthy in that category, but they have Drake May, they have to take him, correct?
Well, yeah, if they think he's Andrew Luck,
Not Andrew Luck. Their grade says
it's their grade. I'm saying the way I look at these quarterbacks does not reflect that. So okay. I can only think of that so much.
That's all. I just want to make sure, because I'm hearing way too much that no matter what, they need to trade out of that pick, which is crazy.
I don't think the idea is no matter what. I think the idea is factoring in that we don't think these other quarterbacks are as sure things as everybody else that we've talked about.
I don't think any of these quarterbacks are sure things this year. I don't think not one. Well, you keep bringing up Andrew Luck. There ain't one quarterback in this draft that comes in like Andrew
There's
Luck.
Absolutely not.
But not at all.
But I'm saying Caleb Williams is at least thought about as the most secure in this class.
Right.
Because you know every step of the way when we've talked about, oh, Caleb Williams, he wants ownership stake, or he's this Gen Z quarterback, he's different in paints. You know what it has done to his draft stock? Not a damn thing. We have not had any of these conversations about flirt with other quarterbacks at that number one spot in a way that I thought we might with Drake May and him.
I just think it's been too easy to say, the New England's not ready for a great quarterback. They have too many holes, so get out of that spot, which is ridiculous. If you think he's the man, you take him.
It's so interesting how we've all talked this up a lot more.
Yes.
In the last few months compared to what this was at the start of draft season here. So I do think, I don't know. Ultimately, I don't think we're going to end up seeing any movement out of the top three. Like, I think at this point,
I agree with
the simplest solution is, like, we kind of, I think, know how this is going to go, which makes it really unsexy for the TV product of draft night, where it's probably going to be Caleb Williams number one off the board. Even if I disagree with it, it seems like Washington's going to take Jaden Daniels at number two. The Patriots are probably going to take Drake May at number three, which I would actually advise if he's sitting there on the board.
And they have that grade for him, right?
They do. And because
the next quarterback,
you need grade. You love talking about the grade.
But that's the key.
I understand it's the key, but you love it.
I know I love it because it's the only thing to me that matters of what your thought is, what a team's thought is of a player. Is it franchise quarterback capable? Because the other thing is the next quarterback needy teams are like Minnesota and Denver. So if somebody does want to trade up, you're going to get a haul.
Well, yeah, and that's what we all think four is. Like, I do think with the Arizona Cardinals at four, you're going to get Minnesota probably trading up to take J.J. McCarthy there because they're scared of the world without a quarterback, considering the way the rest of that team is structured.
Did you want a high draft grade when you were getting looked at for the draft?
Well, yeah, it would have been nice.
Okay, I mean, a draft grade's pretty important.
Well, yeah, it is. We're talking about how we think about these quarterbacks and players.
Right.
Maybe they're listening. Maybe
I guess that is. We give our opinions, but as I continue to say at the end of the day, the teams don't care what we think.
They should.
They should.
Drake May now -330 though to go number three overall.
See? How about that?
Okay.
That's the grade at the DraftKings Sportsbook.
That's boom.
All right, time to finish off the show the way we always do. This, that, and the third. Three quick stories to send you off into your day. As always, download, subscribe, rate, review us, leave us a 5-star rating. Check us out live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the DraftKings Network, noon to 1 p.m. Eastern on the Best of Gojo and Golic on VSiN. I'm going to keep getting more comfortable here as the week goes along. I am just sinking into my corner.
Friday, you're going to be laying down.
I mean, listen, if you're going to give me a comfy couch to sit on here, I'm eventually going to love is blind this thing and just go neck up in a blanket and really feel myself
here. I don't blame you.
We'll also be really tired coming off the draft Friday morning, so this is all lining up incredibly well here. As it lined up incredibly well for us today, our thanks to everyone who joined the show here. Bo Nix, very excited to have him on the program. Guy who's looking forward to having his name called, the former Oregon quarterback. You missed any of that, if you couldn't check us out live, make sure you get that wherever you get your podcast or available right here on YouTube as soon as we get done. Before we get to this, that, and the third, my father has a question he wants to pose to me and Claudia. We don't know what it is. Dad, the floor is yours.
So we're here at the DraftKings studio in Boston, and one of the great things they have here is they have snacks.
Yeah, they do.
Right? They have snacks.
No, they do.
And occasionally we all like to eat healthy, think we're doing good for ourselves. Yeah. So part of the snacks is they have the little mini candies, you know, not a full candy bar, but the little mini candies. My question is dark chocolate Milky Way actually healthy for you?
I didn't even know they made that.
Oh, you didn't know they made
I had about 10 of them in the last break.
Yeah, it's technically.
What would your justification for them being healthy?
Dark chocolate. Just
dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate. Is it, don't they say dark chocolate is actually healthy for you?
No. Well, no. I actually saw, I think it's better. It's good for your heart or something.
Yeah, there's something like that, but it's got to be like a certain amount of pure cacao and all that
stuff.
But there's
also there's a million other things in that candy.
Yeah, that's the other problem.
I don't know.
Like a lot of like processed sugar in those.
So, but does the dark chocolate negate the bad part of it?
No.
I don't
to make it maybe not healthy, but are we canceling out?
No.
You know how you go out, you eat or you drink, and then you work out the next day just to kind of cancel it all out?
Yeah.
Does the dark chocolate cancel out the bad?
All right, so we've got the nutrition facts of the dark chocolate Milky Way over here.
That's a bar, though. Remember, these are minis
30.
We're talking about.
I think the saturated fat and the added sugars, 58% of your daily value of added sugars for a type 2 diabetic, probably not what you're looking for.
But again, I'm talking the minis, that's a bar.
Yeah, I know what you're saying, but how many minis did you say you ate?
About 10.
That's about a bar.
Okay. All right. Well.
So I think I think
for breakfast? What do you mean? We got in here at 8 in the morning. Was that your breakfast?
You got a problem with what I eat?
Actually, closer to 6. Okay. No, I don't. Yeah.
No, hey, listen, your body, your choice. Like, I'm down with all that.
Yeah.
But
all
at the same
time, just
wondering. I don't think I can co-sign that as negating it.
I was trying.
Believe me, that's boy math. 100%.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say a hard no.
All right.
But it's fine because it tasted good, so who cares?
Right. Okay, move on then. Move on. I'm done.
All right, you know what? Let's get to this then. Speaking of things that taste great here, there's apparently a man on TikTok. He's a TikToker, old Jewish man, is known for making Costco content, and in this case, Costco chicken content. Here, take a look at the video.
You know who I am. I don't want any trouble. I got 5 chickens. I don't want any LED on them. None. Scan my shirt 5 times, buddy. 5 times. Done.
So for anyone that wasn't able to watch this, the man was at Costco. He had 5 what looked like rotisserie chickens in his checkout card.
Good, by the way.
Well, I love a good rotisserie chicken. You smash one of those after a long day, just dive into it. Real primal.
Yeah.
But he didn't want the LED light from the scanner at the checkout touching the chicken, apparently. So he had the barcode for the chicken printed on his shirt that did, in fact, scan. So, Dad, is this innovative or too much?
Absolutely innovative for somebody who... But I need to know, just like I found out by looking at the servings, that the dark chocolate-covered Milky Way is probably not good for me. Do we know scientifically that the scanner light does something to the chicken? I mean, is there anything proven there?
Again, really everything that you get in America is overprocessed and bad for you and so many chemicals that this man is doing it for TikTok. I'm sorry to burst the bubble.
Right. Okay.
But there's no way that LED is doing anything worse than what's already.
Are we impressed that like an 80-year-old is doing something for TikTok?
Unfortunately, that's the way of the world.
He looks like Kurt Vonnegut, too.
He does.
It's really weird.
He does.
Yeah. My thing is, he doesn't want the LED light on the chicken, but he wants it directly on his heart.
On his heart.
That's a good point.
It's like when you go to the dentist and they're like, oh yeah, we're gonna give you like X-rays of this or whatever, and they put the like lead jacket on you and then they leave the room. It's like, should we be shooting this through our body?
How bad is it for guys when they do that and they cover your couillons with the thing and then walk out? You're like, wait a minute, this can't be good, right?
Oh man, I just realized.
I can't relate to that.
No,
that's
fair point. Yeah, I can't relate.
I just realized too, we had the chicken man on our LED wall over here, so. We're really putting him in a bind right now.
This
man's surrounded by LED lights left and right. So we'll leave him to his chicken. God bless. I'm going to have to get rotisserie chicken after that.
Oh,
so good.
I can smash
that. Just incredible
Wash
protein.
Wash it down with a good chocolate-covered Milky Way.
Honestly, a good dessert, all things considered.
Yeah, I can do dark chocolate.
That's boy lunch, baby. Let's get to some girl math here. Caitlin Clark doing a ton of it lately as she makes her Nike deal official.
Yes. Some woman math, first of all. Caitlin Clark getting paid.
Grown.
From Nike. Just kidding. Signing a $28 million contract that spans 8 years, includes a signature shoe. It'll be the richest sponsorship contract for a women's basketball player. Interesting, though, as these numbers are coming out, Armour and Adidas also participated in contract discussions in February. Puma showed some interest, but then they were told the bidding would start at $3 million. They said, just kidding.
Wow.
We're out.
Ouch.
Clark received offers of $16 million over 4 years from Under Armour and $6 million over 4 years from Adidas, both signature shoes, so technically more money over a shorter amount of time. I don't disagree with her. I think she made the right choice. Yes. Some people are saying, why wouldn't she go the other way? But what do you mean? It's Nike.
Yeah, $28 million. Want to make this like a bet on yourself thing in the WDAD, but I think this is about, hey, the brand value of a place like Nike, that kind of longevity and a partnership that seems like it'll be a true partnership for an athlete of her stature.
I this was a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, to say, they're, you know, the company's going to be around. It's a great deal. You get the shoe. I mean, other deals, I mean, is a lot of money as well, but this was a no-brainer. Good for her. I mean, yeah. I think it's fantastic.
Awesome. Interesting time in the shoe game. I saw Marvin Harrison Jr. of the current draft class sign with New Balance, who's having a bit of a moment right now. The fresh newbies signing a pretty deep depth chart there. We've seen Kawhi Leonard, Cameron Brink, I think, coming out of Stanford, also a New Balance athlete.
I also really love,
yeah, they're in that commercial.
How serious is Puma? $3 million. I'm out.
I know.
I mean, I can't believe Under Armour's. I mean, it's all getting very interesting right now in the shoe game right there.
Yeah.
Puma making some quality product here.
Yeah, but they don't want to pay, I guess.
It's a lot of money.
It is a lot of money. For not even knowing, and we don't have to get into this conversation again, but not knowing what it's going to look like in the W for her. Injury is also a concern, right? It's a commitment.
Puma, $3 million a year. I'm wrong.
Yeah, $3 million a year.
You know what? I didn't mean to diss Puma. That's actually a nice amount. My fault.
Yeah.
No. I'm open to wearing Puma. So if we'd like to talk.
That is true. You got that leftover Caitlin Clark money here.
Boom. Yeah.
We are for sale.
That's exactly right.
Just let that be known right now. Let's get to the third. Claudia, Kuwait got their ass whooped.
For real. Like 57-0 ass whooping in the IIHF U18 World Qualifier. The shots on goal, 122-1. How is this even hockey, by the way?
I was just going to say,
hockey.
We should make clear.
Yeah, let's make clear the sport.
This wasn't basketball.
No.
This wasn't football. This wasn't anything else where points are at a usually high clip. This is a hockey game that finished up 57-0 here. I don't know what Kuwait's history with the sport is, but I would imagine it is not long and rich, given
what
this.
I would like to know is the Kuwait goalie, when did he tap out?
Right, that's
At what
I was
At what point
thinking.
Is he looking over the bench and giving the old hand-on-head signal of, like, get me the hell out of this game? 122 shots.
Yeah, the shots were 122-1. So forget the offense, stifling defense from the folks in Thailand.
I don't even think that's stifling. I just think this team should not be on ice. No offense.
You know what? I have a great deal of respect, though, still at the end of all this. Handshake lines. After that, yeah. I mean, you got to fight someone.
Yes.
At the very least, you got to fight someone if you're going down like that.
Here's what I want to know. What were the odds and stuff on this before the game?
Oh, God.
What was the over-under? What was the line?
Yeah.
I would love to know what it was.
I might have to
one.
Start betting on Thailand.
Wow.
I was going to say, it feels like we could have gone out there and at least gotten one.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, not my
I
bad.
I can't even escape, but I'd probably.
Yeah. He would have slid off on his
It card. Wouldn't have been a great time. We hope you had a great time with this show, though. If you did, download, subscribe, rate, review it, leave it a 5-star rating, and check us out here live Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern. Thank you. We love you. We'll talk to you tomorrow.